takes a lot easier for beginners, especially if God the first part.
In our meditation today, or our contemplative moment of meditation, I just kept thinking about how much it is just, and even just now when Rajan was talking about, you don't have to fight against them. When you're making space, when you're opening space, you don't have to fight against them. You know? But that idea of a culture of lack, that if you are lacking in something, then you have to fight somebody else to get that space. Or even thinking myself one day when I was in meditation and connected to my breath, and I recognized that I don't have to fight for my breath. Yeah.
Are you looking for someone to join?
I actually just have
you've given me a map.
Brochures for you, yes.
Cool.
This is over by the fire hall. I did all the stuff that's scratched out. There's about 100 houses left.
Okay.
And a couple maps. If you want to split it up with anyone else who can help.
Cool.
And whatnot. So there you are. There are 100 or so here. Maybe 105, I think.
Sweet. Yep, I will get that out as much as I can.
Come and join us.
Thanks, dude. So yeah, even when Rajan was talking about how, you know, you don't have to fight to make those spaces happen. You just kind of make those spaces and then they rush in. Well, I was thinking about a while ago in meditation, I was sitting there going, concentrating on my breath, and I recognized that, I mean, we have so many of those metaphors about fighting for every breath, right? Like getting the breath to come into you. And I was like, wait a minute, I don't have to do anything, really. The breath wants to enter my body. All I have to do is make space for it to enter me. And I think that that's what we're doing in this class. That's what they did with the Alberta Voices thing. And all of this kind of contemplative work is just making a space for those things to happen, for that energy to be and exist where it's welcome. And a lot of it for me anyway.
I really like what you said, it's just like metaphors that come out from each and every one of us. Sometimes you feel so alone that you're trying to really save the environment or do something, and then it's hard to get interest in the things. So it's just cool that you, I don't know, it just gave me that kind of what I'm capable of, the knowledge of.
That you are essential.
Yeah. Mm.
That each one of us is essential. That the universe is expanding. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
It's expanding, and all of us are part of that expansion. And that's what contemplation does, is it helps create the space, like loosen the bonds that keep us trapped in these little containers. Those containers aren't real. They're not. What is real is this flow. And when we're in contemplation, we connect with the flow, just like with our breath, we connect with it. And it's integrating all parts of our being. You know, in teaching class, we kind of get attention to our bodies. In literature class, we pay attention to our feelings and our imagination. But in contemplation, it integrates all parts of our being. And it takes us to a different kind of consciousness. Do you notice when we do meditation that there's a different kind of consciousness?
Mm.
There's ordinary consciousness that we need to get through the day and our work. But then there's this other kind of consciousness that is totally unique.
Yeah, you start to feel that shift. And it's interesting when you feel it in an entire room of people, like to feel that. You can feel everyone, you know, at the beginning, it takes a while to kind of get into that space. But then once everybody shifts, it's just like, you know.
Yeah, I didn't realize how at peace I could be. Like, just, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to sleep here. Like, where it's cozy and warm. But then it was actually really easy to just get into that space. Like, and I don't know. do that enough. Like, I just don't, I think that all the conditions have to be very different.
But what's so interesting is that it's becoming habitual.
Yeah.
That we're listening to ourselves, to other people. We're opening to ourselves without judgment and other people. And we're just breathing the same air, sharing the same air, and being aware of the light energy. We can feel the energy all around the room.
Yeah.
And it's so empowering.
Oh, exactly.
I guess when we were talking about this, what we're trying to discern, and that's the other thing that you do in contemplation, is you don't think about it and come up with solutions. You just put the question out there and see what pops up.
And that's exactly what, like, when Rajan was saying, in case you haven't noticed, we're all just kind of winging it. You know what I mean? That's the, like, that's, to me, that is, that's real learning. When knowledge is accepted as emerging between the groups of, between the different elements that come together. Because when those elements come together, they create a knowledge that didn't exist before. I mean, it may reflect knowledge that has come before. It may use that story and reinforce that knowledge, but it itself is something that's happening right now. And so much of our education happens as
the information of one person.
Well, and it's a
yeah, and that
and it's a real loop. It's a practice of knowledge. It's not actually doing it. It's watching it. Watching how it was done, you know, it
was exactly,
and it's past tense and it's static. It's, you know, it doesn't, it looks at knowledge as something that's dead.
It's water under the bridge when it's in the present moment that life is, that connection is, that learning is, that reality right here in this microsecond that we're talking. Yeah, I loved when they were first starting to talk about this, and I thought, this is so perfect, because there's people at all different stages of awakening, and, you know, practice and living in the different kinds of realms, and every realm is respected and integrated into this beautiful tapestry. You know, there's just such respect.
You know, when it was, I think just this winter or whatever, when I was talking to my mom about something, and she just stopped and went, you know, I've never been here before either. And I just kind of went, oh yeah, you know, like, you know, you think that, you know, my mom's lived this many more years than I have, so she must know this much more about the place where we're at right now. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's that mix-up of you know, time and knowledge, and because we've learned so much that knowledge is something that you accumulate over a period of time, that books get written over a period of time, that kind of thing.
It's that left brain thing that has convinced us that learning is sequential.
Yeah.
And it's so limited, some learning is.
Yeah.
Like, you know, probably calculus is sequential. I don't know. But no, once you get to a certain level,
to a theoretical,
you have to leap beyond from the rules, right? So, and that's what this course is doing. Like, everybody in this course is going to be part of creating a totally different world. Isn't that so cool?
Yeah.
People are being empowered, given the skills, being listened to, like, really knowing that you are essential for this surge that's pushing.
Yeah.
And that's looking for leadership.
Yeah, I was talking to my mom at Thanksgiving. She said, some courses, I was like, well, there's this one really cool class where you get to meditate. She's like, well, what's that teaching you? And then I'm like, actually, a lot more than that. Yeah. So, kind of cool. She doesn't get it.
She will.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. It's so threatening.
Yeah.
It's so threatening that guitar has the courage. I don't know how he gets away with this, because I used to teach at the University of Winnipeg. Nobody could have get away with what he's getting away with here.
Oh, I know.
It's just amazing. I really love Augustana too, though. But, you know, like, there is a creativity and there is this belief that everybody has is gifted in some way.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we raised the question because we were wondering if there's something that we could do better. Like, is there something else that people, different kinds of meditation? Because we've got some other people lined up,
mm-hmm.
which are going to be doing things in a little bit different ways. But is it working, or would you rather take one method and really deepen it? Because what we're doing is a survey. And I gave out those things last night to say, these are the ways that you can recognize. There's so many different ways that we're meditating when we don't even know we are,
mm-hmm.
like that spiritual maturity. So is there a way that we could be doing this better? Do you have suggestions?
I feel like I'm new to it, so like experiencing it all in one of them, and I like the I think it's going.
Well, and especially because, you know, I think that that's common for a lot of people, that they have that they haven't had very many experiences like this before, and to have the because. Like, spirituality is really tied to so many parts of our identity and, like all kinds of open doors, all kinds of closed doors. And to have such a broad survey, it leaves... I'm sure there's a door for everyone, you know?
Well,
and that's the thing.
Assumption.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I really...
On the other hand, there's this wonderful new... practice that's a direct energy practice that could take, like, were we to follow it as a group, you come out light years ahead. But it requires a lot of surrender to it and practice and risk, and you do change.
Well,
so, you know, but if you're going to do that, it requires a lot more risk and a lot more focused attention, like literally learning a practice. Rajan was in a monastery for, what, 10 years?
Mm-hmm.
And so he embodies that particular kind of practice. And most of the people that are coming here were chosen because they live their practice. It's not something that so everybody gets a taste, but if we took one and really went with it, you see, that's the trade-off.
Yeah, it's not fair to dismiss one.
Yeah. And I think that could be offered as a... as an extracurricular part of the class. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Within...
You want a specific... Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's right.
And because we have outside of class
point.
Groups...
That's a good point, that all of the people are practicing their in their own ways, in their own communities. So if we were as open as the university, for example, we would invite people that were interested in.
Well, yeah, because outside of this class, like, I don't know... You know, now I've met you, and so I know some of the things that you... But, I mean, even to be involved with some of the groups that you're involved with,
that's
I don't know...
That's why
I don't know where those doors open. How do you get into those groups of people?
Exactly.
Or
exactly.
How do you... Or, you know, even... It's interesting, because as we were having this discussion right now, I was like, wow. Because this is something I would really like to get... To get into is to hold that kind of space. and invite others into exploring that kind of space. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like, wouldn't it be so cool to open that kind of space to invite other people into? I don't really have that kind of space right now, but I'm like, maybe.
No, that one of the things
could do that
is like you.
Because you need a physical space as well.
You need a physical space. You need an energetic space.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're focused on getting grades and passing, you know, getting a degree and all of that, it in some way it deepens it, but in some way it ups the ante, because you can't go into your courses in your old way.
Yeah.
So it would require much more depth in everything that you do. So, I don't know. But, I mean, it's certainly, as we're talking, I'm thinking the groups that I'm connected with are very advanced groups. But if the university and academia can open itself to this, why can't those other groups? If people are interested in going into them.
Yeah. I'm interested.
Yeah. Well, that would be an interest. That may be something we can do when we're finished the course. Just say, okay, I'll look around and see what I can come up with. And, you know, just post some experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's one of the things that some of the people I'm working with, we're going to do next year, whether it's next January or next year, we're going to do once a month immersions into a particular practice.
Like take a day or?
Yeah.
Yeah.